This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Come on, church, make some noise in this place.
Greeting. This is Reverend Lionel Smith, pastor of New Scholar Baptist Church. We are a church that is working towards acquiring the mind of Christ. Sit back and listen to the message already in progress.
Oh, yes, oh, yes.
And sing. The blood that Jesus shed way back on Calvary. On Calvary. Somebody said it was the blood. The blood that gives me strength. From day to day.
give from the
Chairman, Dr. Lott, our host pastor, Dr. Smith, our host pastor, Dr. Green, to my fellow laborer, Dr. Bailey, to all of the committed persons and pastors, and to each of you, our brothers and sisters, again, it's good to be here. Be able to worship the Lord again. Time is too short and eternity is too long to play with God. If there ever was a time that we should worship him and be serious about it, it's now. Let me thank our chairman and all of the pastors that have worked together to bring about such a wonderful week of celebration. And it came through teamwork. Pastors and church members working together. If a man had only two teeth in his mouth, they work better together. For you to be able to do that, it is a joy. And then thank you for allowing me to come to experience such a wonderful experience this week in these services, both day and night, that you have been so kind. You've treated me so well, so wonderful. And I thank you so much for that. You've allowed me to be comfortable here, and I thank you for that. Your hospitality has not gone unnoticed, and I certainly appreciate you for that. You have fed me well. I mean, tried to give me everything that I wanted to eat and some stuff I didn't want to eat. You have blessed me with that. Preachers have to be careful what they eat. There's some things they shouldn't eat. There was a pastor that had gone to see one of his members, and she was a senior member, and she was, when he went to the room to see her, she was down in the lower section of the hospital getting examinations. So he sat next to the bed, and there was a bowl there with some peanuts in it, and he was sitting there eating the peanuts when they rolled her back in. And he said to her, said, "Mama, I was just making myself at home here, and I decided to eat some of these peanuts in this bowl, so I hope you didn't mind it." She said, "No, Reverend, you help yourself with them peanuts." Said that my daughter always bring me them peanuts that's got that chocolate on them. And so what I do is suck all the chocolate. Off, and I put them peanuts over in that bowl. Said, "Reverend, you help yourself. Eat all the peanuts you want to eat." Some things you ought not to eat. I've enjoyed Pastor Bailey. He has blessed us so much. I mean, just tremendous blessing. And I thank God for him. Amen. Now, if we're a little late getting out today, don't blame me here. I ain't saying nothing, just don't. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. When you find it, say amen. "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And after he begat Methuselah, he walked with God 300 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. And he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Thank you so much. "And he walked with God." Help me say that. "And he walked with God." best way to learn anything about anybody is find out who they're hanging out with. There's not much in the Bible that you can find or discover about Enoch. He's only mentioned in several passages in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 through 24. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 5. Jude, verse 14 and 15. He's mentioned in just chronological order in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 3. And Luke chapter 3 and verse 37, just his name is mentioned. There's not much about him in the Bible, but the Bible is deep, yet it is shallow. It is deep enough for scholars to dive in the bottom and never reach the bottom. And yet it is shallow enough for babies to swim in and never drown. And because of that, it's enough about Enoch for us to spend a few moments and see if God will give us something about his life that will bless us. When you see him, he is always hanging out with two other characters. That's Abel, which is the son of Adam and Eve, and Noah. When you see him, he is always couched in between. In Genesis chapter 4, the key person is Abel. In Genesis chapter 6, the key person is Noah. In Genesis chapter 5, the key person is Enoch. He is the same way in Hebrews chapter 11. For Hebrews 11, 4, it said, by faith, Abel. Hebrews 11, 5, by faith, Enoch. Hebrews 11, 7, by faith, Noah. The reason they three hang out together is because all three bring something to the table for all of us.
Amen.
Whenever you see Abel, he is worshiping the Lord. When you see Enoch, he is walking with the Lord. When you see Noah, he is working for the Lord. We need to worship, we need to walk, we need to work. It is important that we worship the Lord. It's important that we worship him. And sometimes you try to figure out why some people worship him different than others. If you just listen to the word worship, it will help you find the answer. Listen at the word worship, worship. Worship. We worship him based upon what he is worth to us. He may not be worth to some people what he is worth to others. You sit in a seat, and here you are, you've had a stroke, a heart attack, and you've been two steps from death, and God delivered you. And you're sitting next to a person and never been through nothing. You don't expect them to worship God like you worship him. It's based upon what he is worth to you. That's why you can't let other people dictate your worship. It's based upon what he is worth to you. John 4:23 said, God is a spirit. He said, the day will come when true worshipers shall worship the Father, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. That means God desire our worship. He cruises around in the neighborhood to see if he can find somebody that will worship him. He desire our worship. Worship, but not only does he desire our worship, just because he is our Father, he deserves our worship. Because if he is our Father, that means Jesus is our Savior. And any time anybody will give his son to die for your sins, he deserves our worship. Not only does he desire our worship, deserve our worship, he demands our worship. Because John 4:24 said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must. Anytime you see the little word must, it means no changes. 2 Samuel 23:3, he that rule over men must be just. Luke 2:49, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business. Luke 19:5, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for the day I must abide at your house. Matthew 16:21, the time has come that the Son of Man must suffer. John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Hebrew 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe. He desire our worship. He deserve our worship. He demand our worship. Meaning that if you don't look up, he will just lay you on your back. And you will have no choice but to
praise him.
Look up. Not only should we worship him, we must work for him. Because John 9:4, Jesus said, I must, hear this little word must is again, must work the works. He places a definite article in front of the word work, which means this is a special work. This work is different from any other work. Some people say he'll pay after a while, but he's paying now. Talk to me, somebody. Anytime he gets you up every morning, he's paying you. Anytime he clothes you in your right mind and give a reasonable portion of health and strength, he's paying you. Right now, it is a significant work. Because he said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. That means God keep a record of your work. Y'all don't like me. He keep it. Others may forget what you do, but God keep a record. That's why you shouldn't worry about getting credit or benefit from others. Because people will forget what you do. But thank God he keep a record of your work. But not only must we worship him, work for him, we must walk with him. When you read Genesis chapter 5, it is like sitting in a funeral with an obituary column before you. Because you keep reading this, and he died, and he died, and he died. If you got your Bible, you can follow him. In Genesis 5:5, all the days of Adam were 930 years. And he died. Genesis 5:8, all the days of Seth were 912 years. And he died. Genesis 5:8, all the days of Enoch, or all the days of Enos, E-N-O-S, were 905 years. And he died. Genesis 5:14, all the days of Canaan were 910 years. And he died. Genesis 5:17, all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Genesis 5:20, all the days of Jabez were 962 years, and he died. Genesis 5:27, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Genesis 5:31, all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. They died. When you see an obituary column like that when everybody died, first thing you want to know is, what family was that? In Genesis 5 and 1, give you the name of the family. He said, this is the book of the generation of Adam. Everybody in the Adams family died. Now, there's only one other book in the Bible that opened like Genesis 5 and 1. That's Matthew 1 and 1. It's in the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus says he's the second Adam. Let's see what happened in his family. In John 1 and 4, in him was life. Life was the light of men. John 10:10, the thief is coming not for but steal, kill, and destroy. I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never. Now in the Adams family, we all die. But in the Jesus family, we all live. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if I was in the Adams family, I would switch families and get out of the Adams family and get into Jesus. Family. But there's a switch in the text. Let me read it again. Genesis 5:21. And he that lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And he walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years and he walked with God. Now right after that it should read, and he died. But it doesn't say that. It said, and he was not. For God took him. Everybody died. But he is one man that didn't die. I don't know about y'all that if somebody is able to miss death, I need to know what he did. Can I read it one more time? Verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And he walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And he walked with God. He keeps saying, and he walked with God. I mean, was the Lord didn't think we got it the first time? And any time the Bible repeats itself, it means for you to take notice of what he's saying. He said, the key is walking with God. Let me give you the 4 points and I'll and you can go to sleep and I'll wake you up at the end of the sermon. The meaning of the walk, the motivation of the walk, the maintenance of the walk, and I'll wrap it up with the mystery of the walk. What does it mean to walk with God? First of all, it means harmony. Amos 3 and 3 says, how can two walk together except they agree? Now, it doesn't mean for God to agree with us because we change too much. It depends on what day of the week. As to where you find us. I don't need him to agree with me. I need to agree with him. God been here too long for me to try to get him to agree with me. He's too omnipresent to be absent. He's too omnipotent to be weak. He's too omniscient to be dumb. He's too right to be wrong. He's too loving not to care. He's too holy to be defied. Come on, he's too punctual to be late. God is so awesome until he don't have to leave anywhere to get anywhere. He's already where he's going and still where he was. He can tiptoe and stand flat at the same time. He can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. I don't need him to agree with me. I need to agree with him. It means harmony. Hear me say harmony. But it also means holiness. Because I can't be with a holy God and I'm staying unholy. That means the stuff I got that ain't like God, I got to get it rid of it. I got to get it off of me. Talk to me, somebody. It means happiness. You don't know what happiness is till you get in the presence of the Lord. Thank God for cars, cash, clothes, commodities, creature comforts, and Caribbean cruises and cottages in the country, but that don't make you happy. You can have all that stuff and still be miserable. But if you in the presence of the Lord,
yes, sir. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. You have a witness.
Hallelujah.
It means going places. When you walk with God, you can't remain the same. I don't care what you say. If you're walking with God, you got to get better. Here's what I'm saying. If you told 10 lies in 2015, you ought to at least drop down to 9 in 2016. If you walking with God ain't getting no better, you need to check your credentials. Oh, I'm not where I ought to be, but I'm a long ways from where I used to be. Do I have a witness? But it also means leaving some folk behind. Because when you walk with God, everybody ain't going with you. Don't you miss the train because of them. You got to tell them, you ain't going, honey, don't hinder me. Do I have a witness? Meeting the walk. But what was the motivation? What motivated him to walk with God? All of us need motivation. Motivation play a great role in your success. I grew up on a farm, working in the field, and I was the only boy in the community that girls would have nothing to do with. All the other boys had little girlfriends, but me, I didn't have one. They wouldn't look my way for nothing. I don't know what it was. I took a bath every Saturday after I got out of the field, but they paid me no attention. And all the other boys in the field, they could get a cold drink. You know, the kind that you had to have an opener to open. They could get it and put it in their mouth and pop the top. I couldn't understand how their teeth were strong enough to open a drink with their teeth. I couldn't do it to save my life, but one day a little girl in the field walked up to me at lunchtime, said, "Can you open my drink?" I said, "I sure can." I put that drink in my mouth. The top just popped off. You know what I discovered? All that I needed was some motivation. You'd be surprised what you can get out of your man if you're just motivated. Get him by himself and brag about his muscles. Tell me, baby, you got some big old bicep. Oh, I love your muscles. Oh, my God, baby. Just motivate it.
He'll make you quit your job and say, baby, I'm going to take care of you. You ain't got to worry about going to work for nothing. I do this. Just motivate. What was it that motivated him? I like the Bible because you don't have to run trying to figure stuff out. It's right before you. Let me read it in the text. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. It says nothing about him walking with God before his boy was born. But when his son was born, the Bible said, and he walked with God. Meaning the first motivation was family.
Yes.
Family motivated him to walk with God. Now don't downplay family, because you learn some stuff with your family. You don't learn nowhere else. Because God put people in your family to teach you lessons. Sometimes God will put an Absalom in your family. Will be jealous of your success. Sometimes God will put a Peter in your family. But will be sitting over that woman in the enemy's camp. Sometimes he'll put a Judas in your family. Will sell you out for the highest bidder. Y'all don't like bidders, sir. Oh, y'all act like y'all got all good folks in your family. Check your tree. When that child is born in your family, he changed everything in the house. That baby will teach you some lessons you can't learn in no university. First thing he teaches is selflessness. In other words, you can't spend all the money on you no more. You got to spend some on that child. Have I got a witness? He'll teach you patience too. Because you've been used to going to bed at 10, getting up at 5. He wake you up at 2. It's just time to get up. I wish I had some help in this house. He teach you stuff you couldn't learn without it. The Bible gave you, and I don't want to hold y'all long, the Bible gave you the role model for everybody. The man of the house have been called for several things. Number one, he is a provider. He don't just provide shelter. He provide identity. That man, if his name is Jones and he married Mrs. Smith, wants to get married, is Mr. and Miss Jones. The house is the Jones house. The car, it's the Jones car. The dogs, they're the Jones' dogs. The money is the Jones' money. He provides identity. He's not only the provider, but he's the protector. He don't just protect predators from coming in trying to steal stuff. He protect you from false doctrine. If anybody ought to know the word, it ought to be the man of the house. I wish I had some help in this house. Ain't no Jehovah false witnesses. Watchtowers need to be in your house when there's a man in the house. He need to be telling the house, the family, that ain't coming in here, honey. We're not going to damn our soul with some of this foolishness, because he know the word. He is the provider. He's the protector, but he's the priest, because he lay his hand on everybody in the house. He present his wife to the Lord. He present his children to the Lord. Matter of fact, the dog would be better if he lay his hand on the dog. I ought to have some help in this house. He is, him is said, a priest. Now the Bible, we get it mixed up. The Bible never tell the woman to love her husband. Let me let it soak in. The Bible tells the man to love the wife. Y'all need a scripture? Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But watch what he said in Ephesians 5:31. Wives, see that you reverence your husband. What reverence means? Respect. The man look for respect. The woman look for love. Ought to have some help in this house. It work if he love her, she ought to respect him. If she respect him, he ought to love her. Am I putting y'all to sleep in this house? You disrespect him, watch out. Do I have a witness? It was family. But it was also fear that motivated him to walk with God. Where you get fear is in the text. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. The name Methuselah means when he is gone, it will be sin. What a strange name to name your child when he is gone. It will be sin. You see, Amos 3:7 said there's nothing revealed under the sun that God does not reveal to his servant, the prophet. And Jude 14 said Enoch was a prophet. Prophet is a man with sight, insight, and foresight. With sight, he looked on things. Insight, he looked into things. Foresight, he looked beyond things. Prophet is a man that understands the past, know how to deal with the present. With his knowledge of the past, insight of the present, he's able to predict the future. Enoch went to the Lord. He said, I keep hearing this rumor that you're going to destroy the world with a flood. God said, I am. He said, well, since I'm one of your prophets and you don't keep nothing from me, when are you going to do it? And God pointed to Methuselah, when he is gone, it will be sin. I wish I had some help in this house. Now, most of us think Methuselah lived 969 years just to live that long. Don't nobody live that long without a purpose. I've got a witness. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called and according to his purpose. Talk to me, somebody. The life of Methuselah was the fulfillment of 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, Methuselah didn't live that long because he was so holy. He lived because God is long-suffering. That's why I never say that you're doing something right because you're old. You just might still be here because you ain't doing nothing right. And God holding on to you until you get it right. Well, let me show it to you and then I'll have to leave you. For the day I know we held you too long. Now, got your pencil and paper. Maybe you need to write it down. Genesis 5:25. It said, and when Methuselah was 187 years old, he begot Lamech. Write down 187. Genesis 5:28. And when Lamech was 182 years, he begot a son. You write down 187, 182. You should come up with 369 years. So now when Lamech's son was born, Methuselah is now 369 years old. Now we need to know who Lamech's son is. Genesis 5:29, and his name was Noah. Y'all don't hear me. So when Noah was born, Methuselah is 369 years old. Now if I can find out how old Noah was when the flood came, I think I'll have it. And Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, it said, when Noah was 600 years old, second month, 17th day of the month, heaven opened. And the fountain of the deep opened, and it rained 40 days and 40 nights. Now, if you add 369 to 600, you ought to come up with 969 years. Y'all did come for a Bible class, didn't you? Do I have a witness? Thank God it was family. It was fear. But finally, it was faith that motivated him to walk with God. Hebrews 11, 5, it says, by faith. Greek word for faith is pistol. It means belief in God. Now, I need to tell you, faith is not a bad check. Faith is not a blind leap. Faith is not a bad choice. Hebrews 11, 1, the Bible don't give us a definition of faith, it gives us a description of faith. Faith is the substance, hupotasso, in the Greek for the word substance. Hupa means under. Histamine means stand. Faith is something under you that you stand upon. Remember that. I'll be back there in a moment. Faith is something under you that you stand upon. You see, faith is a guarantee. No. It's not something you wish. Faith is a guarantee. In other words, it's business terminology. Yeah, you know, when you pay off your house and they give you your deed, the deed says the house is mine. It's a guarantee of what you got. Faith is a guarantee of what you got in the Lord. Not only is it business terminology, it's scientific terminology. During that day, they would get grapes and put in a filter. Master grapes, juice would run through the filter into a container. You didn't have to see the juice in there. If you looked at the filter, it had residue. That juice had come through here. Faith, yeah, is evidence that something has come through. Not only is it business terminology, scientific terminology, it's Christologist terminology. Because the only way you can be saved, you got to have faith in God. Boy, have a witness here. Now, where do I get faith from? I don't get it from sitting somewhere in the dark, wishing and praying. Romans 10, 17 says, faith, come by hearing. I got to quit, y'all. Show me a person that's hearing the word. I show you a person got faith. That's why when you come to church, you need to sit with somebody where you can hear. Don't sit next to somebody that's going to be gossiping all during the worship service, hunching you and trying to get your attention. You got to have somebody, yeah, that will let you hear, because your faith is on the line. Shake somebody's hand and say, honey, do you have any faith in God? Have I got a witness here? That was a father that went down in the basement of his house and was hammering on an object. He didn't turn the light on in the basement. He turned the light on the top floor. And while he was hammering, he woke up his little daughter. Little daughter came to the mouth of the basement and hollered, said, Daddy, is that you down there? He said, yeah, baby, this your daddy. She said, Dad, can I come to you? He said, come on, baby. She backed up. She said, but I can't see. He said, that's all right, daughter. Daddy can see you. She started to take another step. She backed up, said, "But I'm scared." He said, "That's all right, baby. Come on." She started to step again. She said, "Daddy, I'm afraid I might fall." The father said, "Wait a minute, baby. So number one, do you recognize my voice?" She said, "Yeah, Daddy, I know it's you." So secondly, have your daddy ever lied to you? "No, Daddy, you ain't never lied to me." So let me ask you one more question. Do you believe that if you fall, that your daddy can catch you when you fall? So, "Oh yeah, Daddy, I know you can catch me if I fall." He said, "All right, if you recognize my voice and know I've never lied to you, and know that even if you fall, I'm able to catch you. Come on down." I'm talking to somebody in this room today. You want to make a faith move, but you can't see. Yeah, you want to do something spectacular, but you're scared. You really want to work out and walk out for God, but you think you might fall. Can I tell you the first thing you do is recognize his voice. Secondly, know that God ain't never lied. And third, that even if you fall, he's able to catch you when you fall. I'm out of here. Thank y'all for letting me stop by. It is said that one day faith and science had a conversation with each other. Science said to faith, "You believe in all that stuff you can't see. Come on, follow me. Let me show you the real world." Faith said, "All right." Science took faith on a trip. They walked out into a flower garden. Science said to faith, "I can name every flower. I can tell you which flower the bee get his best honey from." Faith said, "That's good science." They kept walking and went through a forest. Science said to faith, "I can name every tree. That's a walnut, that's a pine, that's a oak, that's a elm, that's a pecan, that's a cypress, that's an apple." Faith said, "That's good science." Kept walking and ran into a huge rock in the road. Science said to faith, "I can look at that rock and tell you how old it is." Faith said, "That's good science." They kept walking and ran into a huge body of water. And science stopped in his tracks. Faith pushed him in the back. Said, "Go on, science." "Science, I can't go no further. There's a huge body of water, and there is no bridge." Faith said, "All right, you've been leading me. Now you get behind me, and I'm gonna lead you." Have I got a witness here? They went back over the same spot of ground. Faith said, "Science, you told me about all these flowers, but you missed two. You missed the rose of Sharon. You missed the lily of the valley." Have I got a witness here? He went back through the forest and said, "Science, you name all these trees, but you miss one tree. That's called the tree of life." They went back to the huge rock and said, "Science, you told me how old this rock was, but you said nothing about the rock of ages." Have I got a witness hand? And when they got to the